to order. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Mayor Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Dandrea.
Here.
Alderman Mayer.
Here.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderman Taylor is on his way. Alderman Schmidt.
Present.
Alderman Skransky.
Here.
Please rise. Join me in the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, first item on the agenda. A lot of people keep flashing me 7:40 start time, so Mr. Liberta, with that in mind, item 2A, public hearing, 2014 proposed budget. And Madam Clerk, will you please read the public...
The Common Council of the City of Franklin, Wisconsin will hold a public hearing on Monday, November 4th, 2013 at 6:30 p.m. or soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council chambers, 929 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, for the purpose of hearing any citizen or taxpayer on the proposed 2014 city budget. Summary of the proposed budget is published herewith, and a copy of the complete proposed budget will be available for public inspection at the office of the city clerk, Franklin City Hall, Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m., holidays accepted, at the Franklin Public Library, following the date of this notice, and is on the City of Franklin website at www.franklinwi.com. Dated Franklin, Wisconsin, the 17th day of October, 2013.
Okay. Ms. Liberta, would you like to proceed?
Sure. It's my pleasure to introduce the 2014 proposed budget as moved forward by the Committee of the Whole. As a matter of introduction, this is the 2014 preparation timetable. It kicks off with September 17th when the mayor's recommended budget was presented to the Common Council, but the work on the budget really started months before that, in as early as May, with the finance department beginning to prepare preliminary numbers and departments beginning in June and July on capital outlay and personnel requests. And then since then, it went to the Common Council, who then deliberated it as a committee of the whole September 30th, and forwarded the version that you see here to the public hearing. We're on the public hearing today, and tomorrow it's scheduled on the Common Council agenda for further deliberation and prepared ordinances, including the budget, for adoption. The budget is a financial plan for conducting the affairs of the city. That's according to the municipal code on the matter. And that often becomes a balancing act between property taxes and service provision. That balance must be found in context with the greater community. It needs to take into effect the current economic realities, but it must also consider the city's future, where services need to go, and from where service demand is coming. The budget needs to consider how we can manage our future effectively and efficiently, but at the same time retain a firm grip on current economic conditions. So as a matter of introduction, and so as not to be accused of sort of burying the lead, in the proposed budget that the Committee of the Whole recommended, and as proposed by the mayor, the property taxes remain frozen at the current level. So in this regard, like I said, it's identical to what was proposed by the mayor, and there's no increase in the total property taxes. So with that sort of overall theme already on the table, let's step back and sort of walk through the presentation. I'll go through some greater detail on the property taxes. I'll talk about the expenditures and revenues by fund, and we do that in part because the state requires that by fund designation be set forth in the public hearing notice. We'll talk about some service impacts in the future, and that will include a discussion on the primary initiatives and highlights of the budget. So again, probably the item of primary interest to most people is that the total property tax levy remains frozen at the 2013 level. Now, there's an allowable property tax increase of new growth of about 1%, just under, which would have allowed the property taxes to increase a little bit over $200,000. Additionally, there was the ability to carry over a prior year allowance for property tax increases of an additional $300,000. So nearly $300,000 of allowable increase in the property taxes under the state limits, but the actual increase proposed is $0. So the actual property tax influx or impact, the rate fluctuates due to the revaluation. And the current rate of 578 in 2013, as has been discussed so far, it was estimated to go to 628 in 2014. What that means for the sample residential impact, if your house was assessed last year at $250,000, that typical house in a typical neighborhood would probably had a reassessment of around $227,500, and that in conjunction with a 0% property tax levy increase in total would cause a reduction in property taxes of $3,611. We do note that it's estimated, though, because there are two pieces in property tax calculations that sort of occur after the budget and outside of the budget, and that is the state finishing the revaluation of manufacturing property values. They prepare that number and give it to us. It's not something done here at the city or in the our assessing department. And they also have a equalization number where they can do some corrections for prior year's taxes that can have nominal effects on the budget. So the 628 was presented as estimated. When we talk about the budget tomorrow, I will be pointing out that we now have some finer-tuned numbers from the state, although they're not done yet, and we do estimate that that 628 would be a 629.4 right now, which takes that $36 number down by probably about $2.50, but it's still very much consistent with what we've said, but it is a slightly fine-tuned number that I'll be able to talk about tomorrow. And this table shows the allocations of property tax to the various funds. As you can see, in total, there isn't a change in the total property taxes. Still, total tax levy of the $20,509,000. And at the bottom corner there, you can see the current estimate of the tax rate at the 629. The city does budget our activity by funds. We have a variety of funds, the general fund, the library fund, there's a sewer service, capital outlay fund, equipment replacement, street improvement, debt service, capital improvement, the solid waste collection, and development fund. Development fund is the where we do impact fees. So I'll run through each of those funds quickly. The general fund is the fund where most of the activity of the city happens. That's the operating funds. This shows you 3 years of actual history for expenditures and then estimate for this year and for the 2014 proposed. Note that the current year in 2014, we do exclude that emergency expenditure restraint program contingency that we put in the budget in case something were to happen, and that preserves our room under the state expenditure guidelines and gives us the ability for emergency appropriations if we need it. But we don't actually expect those amounts to happen. So in the 2013-14 column, we pull that out so that you can see how we would believe the expenditures were actually happened by fund. And as you can see, there's only less than a 2% increase in expenditures estimated from 2014 to 13. But it's still lower than years prior than that. So the city's been very restrictive in the growth of its expenditures. One of the main ways we were able to accomplish it this year is a reduction in WRS, which is Wisconsin Retirement System costs, is a primary factor in constraining this growth. A big chunk of that is based upon the Act 10, some of the changes in Act 10 that gave us some greater ability at negotiating favorable contracts in a manner that's consistent with what's happening around state. And the state did some recosting and reevaluation of their plan based on some of those changes that brought some of their other costs, their disability costs, down. overall revenues equal expenditures in this budget in the general fund, so there's no net change in the general fund balance. We still have an overall fund balance that falls within our policy guidelines. And the proposed budget will continue to receive expenditure restraint program, be eligible for that, which is good. The budget before you estimates that that there would be $220,000 payment from the state in this regard. It's worth noting, since we are at the public hearing on it, that tomorrow when the Common Council debates the budget, and in their packet I did report to them that we've got revised numbers from the state now that show that this number is actually going up to $255,000. So qualifying for the expenditure restraint program, which we try to do every year, now has a $250,000 benefit to the city. The other major revenue changes in the general fund, fund transfers, which is really just an accounting mechanism, moving some expenditures in DPW into the capital area where staff and equipment work on projects, dividends and refunds, a minor slight reduction. Permits and licenses are experiencing a fairly significant increase due to an increase in building permits. Court fines and fees, there's a slight decrease anticipated, and you can see the other ones all listed there. At the same time, I did just point out on the prior slide the expenditure restraint program. The state finalized two other sets of numbers. The exempt computer aids are going to be up about $45,000, and general transportation aids are going down about $74,000. So although we'd like to be as close as we can on each of these individual numbers, it's sometimes hard to do when where the state is concerned. But what's most important is that we're relatively consistent across the total of them. And in the end, you can see we were within $7,000, and it will be an extra $7,000 positive for the budget that will be available for, as part of the discussion for tomorrow. Moving on from the general fund, briefly running through each of the funds, since that is a major component of the public hearing notice in the format prescribed by the state. The library fund, there's no change in the tax levy. A big reason is last year they got the bulk of the increase in the property tax levy overall. There's continues to be a conservative estimate of reciprocal borrowing, which is a part of the sort of financial planning for them to make sure they don't get caught short during the year. Other revenues are generally flat, except interest and income, which is experiencing a slight reduction. Expenditures that requested $1.362 million, which is an increase of about $10,000. And this proposed budget has actually $1.367 million, so a nominal increase above that. If expenditures and revenues occur as set forth in the budget, their fund balance will reduce by $72,000, still leaving $391,000. But again, we noted that the reciprocal borrowing revenues was a conservative estimate, and the expectation is that that additional revenue in that area will help fill that scheduled deficit. Solid waste fund is the one where the garbage collection occurs. That was moved to a separate fund a couple of years ago. The user rate fee has been $104. We anticipated a very slight rate increase of about 0.75%, which takes the rate from $1.04 to $1.04.78. There's a slight decrease in the expenditures because since this fund was set up, there has been a slight reduction in the number of users. In the sanitary sewer fund, this fund is largely expenditures that go to MMSD. Rates are adjusted based on MMSD charges through this fund. We also have the Clean Water Fund payment is due in 2014. And it's funded by the city, but repaid by MMSD. Expenditures In the end, we're proposed to increase 2.6% in MMSD. I believe is expecting a 3% increase, principally based on the costs of MMSD.
Let the record reflect that Alderman Taylor has now joined us at quarter to seven.
The capital outlay fund is where the fund generally through which departments buy pieces of capital equipment, everything from chainsaws and chairs and desk equipment to computer software programs, dispatch systems, those kinds of operating capital equipment, so to speak. In this fund, there was a slight reduction in the landfill siting revenue as part of an overall budget adjustment that I'll talk about a little bit later. The tax levy experienced an offsetting increase of $36,000. Departments had requested about $743,000 in money. This proposes $641,000, so it's a decrease of 13%. And overall, the public safety experienced a slight decrease. General government did go increase. And public works had a decrease. Based on the nature of capital outlay expenditures, you will find a lot of fluctuation from year to year between the sectors of our government that the state has us report capital outlays on. So those shifts between areas is not uncommon at all. It uses 89,000 of the existing fund balance, but it still has available about 14% of the fund balance. The equipment replacement fund, this is where we, a separate fund established for long-term planning for large pieces of capital equipment, primarily trucks and other vehicles. And it has expenditures this year anticipated of only $231,000, with the two main pieces being a fire command vehicle and a snow plow. And again, landfill siting was decreased and property tax levy was moved in an offsetting nature. This fund is always one we have to keep an eye on, because if you look at every piece of equipment in the fund and how much should be contributed annually so that it was 100% sustainable, we continue to be slightly underfunded here since we started, though, but we'll continue to try to make strides on that each year till at some point it becomes fully funded. But it is working for us, continuing to work for us at this pace. The street improvement fund, there's a request for about $1.2 million. There's a proposal of $960,000 in revenue plus $200,000 of support from the DPW department. The fund balance is expected to be about $336,000 at the end of the year. Every other year, we get local road improvement aids of about $75,000. That is going up to $78,000 this year. And that comes each year, and then it's gone the next year, and it keeps working that way. Landfill siting, similarly to some of the other funds that I mentioned, it was reduced in here, and there is an offsetting increase with property tax revenue out of the available amounts. The debt service fund has, this is what we use to make payments on previously borrowed amounts of money. There's $10 million of outstanding GO debt, of which almost $2 million of that is remaining is due on the library and police station. We also do have currently carry the in the sewer fund the debt related to the Ryan Creek Interceptor. The tax levy support is $1.6 million of tax levy. That's going down $50,000. And in fact, over the we see the tax levy support necessary to support this fund continuing to go down in the near term. This fund also helps pay off its debts with $158,000 from impact fees and $219,000 from special assessments.
Mark, just one point on that. That's that just for everybody's understanding, the $10,322,000 outstanding debt, which is at $8,185,000 still remaining. I don't know that there's a single person on the council that voted in favor of either the library or the police station. It was voted back when I was an alderman. Yet, what's important for the public to understand is that these, when these capital projects are approved, they go on for many, many years, and future councils have to absorb those debts.
Yes, but it's also worth noting that it is fully expected that municipalities of every size does need to avail themselves of borrowing at times. And the state has a calculation that they use to determine what your limit is. They do limit this. And we are, if you're looking at just the $10 million, we are well below our limit of allowable debt. For the period that we're holding the MMSD, Bryan Creek Interceptor debt, we're moving up the scale and have a higher amount of debt, but we have a contractual obligation for that to be paid.
It's just so that, because people change, I see new faces in the audience right now, and people may not understand that when these two projects came down, the way it was sold was, well, it's only going to adjust your tax by 13 or 14 cents more on the tax rate, but the general public generally doesn't understand that for 25 years I'm going to be paying for this. And so that I just want to make it clear that everybody that was up here actually didn't vote for this. I think I voted for the library. But
overall, the financial institutions and the bond people who evaluate us would consider our $10 million in debt a very reasonable, modest amount of debt for a community of our size. The Capital Improvement Fund is the fund where we have the larger projects. As you can see some of the sample projects there, park acquisition and development. The reason that number is larger is we do have a park impact fee money that does have a timeliness issue to it, and that meets the timeline that the city's had as just a couple years back. We updated our comprehensive outdoor recreation plan, and so the items in that plan will begin moving forward, and then the impact fee money and revenues there, and those expenditures will be made out of this fund. Half of the City Hall roof needs to be replaced as a regular maintenance. It's past its useful life, and so we're planning ahead as we should. Police Dispatch Center, sewer and water billing is included in the total proposed expenditures of $7.6 million, as is Evergreen Street related to the park. Landfill siding, this is where when landfill siding revenue was moved out of some of the other funds, it was moved here to be the city contributing portion to the extent that it could cover it for all of the park acquisition and development, so that is largely between impact fees and landfill siding. In the capital improvement fund, this budget does anticipate reinstituting the expected amount of $2 million of borrowing every other year. That's really a financing mechanism, but if you look at the cost to pay off that borrowing, we actually have our debt service relating to that going down over the period of time, even through 2020. So it just provides for good financial planning for long-term scheduled capital improvements.
I guess I have one other thing to say, and that's the City Hall roof. For as long as I can remember, the people that sat up at the council or on the finance committee or whatever for the city back to 99 or whatever, it was very, very hard for the elected people to vote for new projects. I mean, the city, the police station was a major, major controversy. I just want to point out that unlike other cities, we don't go out just because there's a small problem and replace the entire building, try and take care of the building. And that's what you see here.
The development fund is where your impact fee activity is recorded. There's some history of the revenue on the left side of the screen there. Schedule 2014 debt service of $455,000, and some of that anticipated debt service fund support of $158,000 from the development fund. Park impact fee study was recently adopted by the board, actually, and rates have changed, and that's due to the fact that we do have some timeliness issues and deadlines coming up for use of some of the funds in the development fund. Very quickly, we'll run through some of the proposed initiatives that are set forth in the budget. Last year, this is a slide from last year's presentation where we talked about the police department spending per capita, and that in 2010, Franklin was the 20th lowest out of 23 municipalities in our sort of population tier, with 20th lowest in the per capita cost of operating a police department. And what they've got in this year, both in the mayor's proposed budgeted and that is forwarded by the committee of the whole, is it proposes reinstating funding for an additional police officer. Similarly, in building inspection, since 2006, there's been a pretty significant reduction, 40% of building inspection and 25% overall of sort of administrative service staff have been reduced since 2006, eliminated. And not all of those positions were just vacant positions that, you know, were eliminated with once vacant. We actually sent some people home. That was since 2006. But in the building inspection area, permits are up, demand is up, revenue is up, and there are some major project development underway that will continue to push for demand in this area. The 2013 revenue has already been fully realized, so the remaining revenue for this year is goes to the bottom line. So this budget does reinstate an assistant building inspector position full-time at the end of March, I believe. The Common Council 2 months ago or so approved a half-time position that's in place until that point, and the budget currently expects to increase that to a full-time position. Municipal operations are very labor-intensive. About 80% of the general fund operating expenditures are wages and benefits. I think people hear that all the time, but that's something always worth pointing out. Well, Act 10 and 32 entirely changes the municipal landscape relative to the corporations. 48% of staff are now non-represented employees. You know, people are used to hearing that a city is, you know, largely police departments and fire departments, and those were always the big sections of city operations, and that's frankly no longer the case, because everybody else, the non-represented employees, now constitute 48%. And the police and fire unionized portion are together, they're the other 52% of personnel costs. As a whole, that's 38% of general fund operating costs, $9 million, are the employees who are now non-represented employees. As of about a month ago, the city no longer has any unionized employees other than those in the police and fire department. Because of this change in some of the statutory issues around them, it's recommended that we more actively manage and train this group of employees, and that we do that to continue to actively manage the associated costs. In the budget transmittal letter that's included with the budget, it had the statement that the changing landscape and magnitude of these non-represented employees' costs warrant an enhanced effort to ensure these crucial resources are efficiently and effectively managed and that the organizational resources are in place to help control future cost increases for these personnel. Some examples of the kinds of things that it's talking about that needs to be done is ensure better results from and participation in details to a wellness program, enhance supervisor training, improvement and updating of all the handbook policies, better oversight of workers' compensation and safety management efforts, dealing with all of the federal healthcare changes and mandates, and more detailed work on benefits cost management. We've done a good job till now, but the stakes are higher with the changes that have occurred with Act 10 and 32, and so this budget proposes some steps to proactively address those. First, it funds a it proposes $40,000 or up to for a classification and compensation study to ensure that wages are appropriate and competitive to the marketplace and to ensure internal equity. One thing some people may not realize is that when your employees are in bargained labor contracts, that's a specific exclusion from the federal pay equity, equal pay laws if they're in unions. Our employees are no longer in that. So we have separate obligations that we didn't have before to ensure we're following certain non-discriminatory practices. Classification and compensation studies are one of the things that do that. Personnel committees already reviewed and discussed this some, and if you fund it in the budget, or we can have further recommendations on that, and we can go into personnel committee's recommendations tomorrow if there's questions on that. Also within this, the budget eliminates funding that was expected to retain a deputy finance director position following the retirement of Cal, and uses those funds to add a human resources analyst position, sort of an entry-level human resources position, and then reclassify the human resources coordinator position slightly. So it's basically ensuring that we will have some resources to be more proactive in the management of those non-represented employees that constitute over $9 million of the general fund. It also proposes reclassifying the director of administration position to provide for full-time support for the broader day-to-day operations of the city. In the proposal, the mayor had patterned this after some language in Oak Creek ordinances. A separate memo was provided to the council to give some greater detail on that. It provides support needed by a mayor given the size and complexity of Franklin, and important to help coordinate the directors of the mayor and the common council. Important in that is recognizing that the management of the city remains vested in the common council and the mayor. There isn't a proposal for something like a city manager where then an appointed person is then responsible for all of it. It's just to provide the mayor, who remains the chief executive officer, and the common council, who remains, who continues to have management control in the city, provides them with a single position to provide full-time support on day-to-day operations. Additional recommendations which are in the budget is to evaluate the operations and management of the water utility. There isn't a specific appropriation established for that, but details of the recommendation are in the transmittal letter. Similarly, it recommends performing succession planning for DPW engineering and sewer and water. It seems like Jack's been sitting there forever, and he probably could, but at some point he may decide not to. And as we did when the finance department and the succession planning worked very well into the city's benefit, I believe, we should be proactive in that regard as well. Capital improvement plan, I already mentioned that it reinstates the practice of borrowing for the $2 million every other year. And it also uses the increase in landfill siting revenues that were consolidated to support park acquisition and improvements. Levy was then moved into the other funds where it was needed. Additional initiatives In human resources and wage and benefit, the budget does anticipate a general cost increase of 1.5% for non-represented employees, anticipated to be scheduled the same way as it was this year with a 1% January, 1% in July. But because of the classification plan, the initial recommendation is to hold implementation until the classification plan is complete and then can be implemented through a compensation plan so that that funding can be used for implementation of the plan. At this point, there's stable or to moderate changes proposed in the health plan design. We see no problem in the continued operation of our self-funded plan as it is, and the personnel committee will have recommendations as they've been working last month, and they'll have their final discussions with our consultant in the area this month and forward to you specific recommendations relative to health plan for next year. But everything they're looking at falls either within or lower cost than is built into the budget. So I don't anticipate any problems there. There is enhanced police department overtime in the budget. There's also an increase in IT support services based upon a significant increase in departmental demand and the size of the network. Could probably use more there, but we did build in some. It does anticipate converting the sanitarium from a contracted service where we share it with another, basically buy services from another community, to bringing in a part-time employee. I think page 10 of your budget document has a brief memo that discusses that. And there are increased costs of property insurance. That is increased costs of the non-health related insurances are going up because of a lot of the disasters that have occurred statewide. And there's a new manager in the State Property Insurance Fund who's bringing in some new practices that are causing their costs to go up. And in fact, we're getting some other quotes because they are estimating their costs to go up considerably on our property side of things. Finishing up sort of where we started, reminding you of the process. So today we're at November 4th, the public hearing, and those people here today can now comment on the budget for the Common Council's consideration when they take up consideration of the budget for potential adoption at tomorrow evening's meeting.
Okay. Thank you. Let me just ask the clerk or yourself, was this noticed in the newspapers? Was this distributed widely as normal?
Yes, it was.
It's the same normal routine manner?
Yes. And in addition to the regular required public notice, it is, this time of year, always our sort of our lead story in our October newsletter. So notice of our process and our budget schedule was sent to each household as part of our newsletter.
Okay. I'm going to open up item 2, business A, public hearing 2014 for public hearing. Is there anyone wishing to speak during the public hearing? Is there anyone wishing to speak on the proposed 2014 City of Franklin budget? Is there anyone wishing to speak regarding the proposed City of Franklin 2014 budget? If not, I'm going to close the hearing, and this is a committee of the whole meeting, so the council would not take action tonight, but could take action tomorrow. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right. With that, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved. Second.
The moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Thank you very much. Thank you for your good work. Much appreciated.